co-sponsor of a film screening of COINTELPRO 101 Monday, June 1st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. COINTELPRO 101 is a one-hour documentary produced by the Freedom Archives explaining an illegal FBI program, COIN, as the counterintelligence program spearheaded by J. Edgar Hoover that targeted revolutionary of the 60s and 70s. There will also be a presentation of ongoing local work and Q&A session after the film. Again, that's COINTELPRO 101 Monday, June 1st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboob.fm on the right side of the home page under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio. To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Improvisation Summit of Portland, June 4th through 6th at Disjecta in Portland. This all-ages event brings together musicians, dancers, and experimental performers for 3 days of improvisational art. Performers include Roscoe Mitchell, Jonah Parzan Johnson, Linda Austin, Gordon Ashworth, Either Neither, and many, many more. Again, that's the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Thursday, June 4th through June 6th at Disjecta, 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello. Holla. Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, for the working class, here on KBOO 97 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation State, County, and Municipal Employees and the current president of the Oregon chapter of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. And as usual, I'm joined by my sister in the struggle.
Good evening. Deborah Hall here from the American Federation of Teachers. Thanks for joining us.
Tonight's segment is entitled, What's Wrong with the TPP? In other words, what's wrong with the Trans-Pacific Partnership? Our guest tonight is Terry Melvin, who's the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists International. Welcome, Terry.
Good to be with you this evening.
Hey, first, before we start, I wanted to congratulate you on a successful 44th annual convention recently held in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, we had a good time there. We had some inspiring work being done there, and over about 1,000 of our, as you know, delegates from around the country came to see what we're up to and what we're going to be doing for the next year.
You know, Terry, one of the great things that I love about going to the CB2 conferences is that we always have interesting guests that come and talk to us and tell us what the impact of the things that are going on in the nation. And so the reason I asked you to be our guest tonight is that I wanted you to talk to our listeners about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. As you know, a few weeks ago, President Obama was here in Portland, Oregon. And instead of being inside in the room cheering him on, we were on the outside on the sidewalks yelling at him. And so what I wanted to do is to have you come on and talk to our members and our listeners about what's wrong with the TPP.
Well, I'm very excited about this opportunity, Tina, to talk to your listeners up in Portland about this issue. As you know, I've been a supporter of our president since before he became president and have supported him in his reelection and in most of his policies. But this is one that he is just off the mark on. And, you know, just like I said in my convention speech, there's some time when family take the wrong road and it's up to us to bring them back to reality. And that's why I'm so proud of the union movement as a whole that stuck together on this issue with not just the president, but with politicians across this country and said that we will not be divided on this issue. Now, there are many issues, many problems with this. The first is we've seen every trade policy that has been negotiated. We have lost jobs in this country, everyone. And when you talk about losing jobs, I'm forced as the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists to look at what it means to my community. Every time since we've been taking statistics on unemployment in this country, for every percentage that a white person is unemployed, it is double that for blacks in this country. So if we've lost a million jobs out of this country, most of them came from people that either could have gotten a job that looked like me or have lost a job for people that look like me to go overseas into other jobs. So that's a major problem that I see in the loss of jobs, the potential loss of jobs. Another thing that I see is that this Trans-Pacific Partnership clearly benefits the top 1%. And I don't know about you, but I'm just fed up. I'm just sick and tired of this country making policies to benefit the people that need it least at the expense of those that need it the most. It's another way of giving these billionaires and multi-billionaires more money in their pocket at our expense. And, you know, many of our folks don't see it. But it's our responsibility to open up their eyes and let them know how this could have a greater impact on our people in particular, but on labor in general.
It's my understanding that it may also have an impact on the wage gap.
Oh, sure. I mean, when we look at, I'll give you a perfect example of what's happening today. I mean, so many people go to that store that starts with a W. And probably some folks in your family, like people in my family, go there too. And the reason they say is, you know, we go there because it's cheaper. And I tell them, well, it's cheaper because you're not paying a higher price for that item there. However, in your tax dollars, you're supplementing the people that are work there because they don't make enough money to survive on. You're supplementing them with either health care or you're supplementing them with food stamps. You're supplementing them with their housing assistance. So you're paying out of your pocket, and you just don't know you're paying out of your pocket. By shipping these jobs overseas, they are paying people little or nothing. I mean, in some cases, people are getting paid 50 cents or a dollar a day to do an 8 to 10 hour job that we would get paid, you know, $12-$15 an hour to do that job at least over here with some benefits. They have no benefits. They still have horrible child labor laws in a lot of these countries. And these TPPs, these fast-track agreements, while in some cases they put some language in there, they put no enforcement in them. So they may look colorful on the outside to say, well, we've dealt with the issue of child labor, or we've dealt with the issue of not paying people a decent wage, but there's no enforcement. So they put it on paper, and what we have is the only way you're going to get a job is you start suppressing it. And that's why they're talking about we got some more jobs coming in this country, but most of those jobs, I should say, are for low-wage earners. They're not jobs that people can live on, that they can raise their family on. And the more we push overseas our goods and our services, the more we're going to be in this position in this nation to just continue to lose jobs. And I don't understand how big business hasn't figured out, if I'm not making any money, I'm not going to be able to buy something. You know, Ford figured that out years ago when he decided to pay his employees a decent wage. He figured out that he needed to pay them enough so that they could buy what they were making. The big business people today, they ain't figured this out yet. It's all about what can go in their pocket.
Terry, this is Deborah Hall. So it appears here that the TPP is an agreement that looks to trade workers' rights for corporate profit. Would you agree with that? And can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, I would agree with that 100%. I mean, if you could just look at, who's putting together the TPP? It's being put in together by corporate lobbyists. Their job is to lobby to get more money for the corporate interests at the expense of the workers. And they're the ones that's putting together this agreement. And anybody who thinks that corporate lobbyists are sitting in a room saying we have to take care of workers, they have really lost their mind. Their job is solely to do just that, to get as much money for the corporation as they can. And how do they do that? The same way corporations are doing that over here. They underpay the workers, they don't pay them their fair share, and they put more into the pockets of those at the top. I mean, as you know, and some of what your listeners may know, the wage gap between the CEOs of companies and the workers in those companies has went up astronomically over the last 20 years. It is ridiculous. And these corporate lobbyists are trying to do more of that by negotiating our trade agreements with our own government to put those things in place. So clearly what they're trying to do is take the money out of the worker and the benefits from workers and put it into the pocket of large business entities.
Yes.
So it's my impression this TPP also bumps up against our democracy and further erodes our worker rights. Is that about right?
Oh, sure. I mean, what is the big problem with the TPP is it's this fast-track notion, which means that each trade agreement, I mean, Congress has a responsibility. We elect them. And when they do things like this, what they're doing is ducking and getting away. What they're doing is one vote, and then whatever is done after that, they're not taking responsibility of, and they don't have to discuss. I personally think that every one of these agreements, just like every time the president decides that he wants to go to war, he needs to go to Congress and get approval. I think that any president, whether it's Barack Obama, whoever, any president that wants to make a trade agreement should have to go defend it before Congress and get it passed individually before Congress. The way this is set up, it's a master plan. And once they pass it, they wash their hands. They don't have to deal with it anymore. And when we go to them after this and say, how did you let this happen? They're just going to, we didn't know anything about it. That, you know, that's in the president's hands. That's in somebody else's hands. That's not ours. That's their responsibility. That's what we elect them for. And I think that's what we need to hold them accountable for.
So here in Oregon, we really pride ourselves on our environmental regulations and the fact that we are moving forward with 15 now and trying to make companies more responsive to Oregon citizens. Again, it's my impression that this TPP would just like stab it in the heart. Is that about right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It'll flip that all around. I mean, all the gains that we've been making in this country by passing something like this, and that's why the corporate lobbyists are into this so thick. It's all about their interest, and it's all about, as I said before, it's all about benefiting the top 1% at our expense, at the rest of us. And they really don't care about the rest of us. And we really have to get it together in our community, within our movement, because I do believe that this is one movement. This social justice movement is one movement. And we've got to figure out how to join partners with our community allies and our labor allies and bring us all under the same roof, speaking the same language, understanding the same thing, that if we allow this stuff to happen, if we allow TPP to happen, if just like we allowed it under Bill Clinton, just like we allowed it under Bush, but if we allow this one to happen at this time, we've got to let people know, if accepted, what they're accepting. And what they're actually accepting is losing more jobs, higher unemployment, not being able to pay their bills, and then a government who thinks you ought to be out there on your own anyway. So after they take away your job, after they take away your ability to make any money, then they want to take away all the social programs from you. And where does that leave us?
Yeah, you'll be right about that. Well, I'd like to remind our listeners, if you just tuned in, this is you're listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio. And tonight our guest is Reverend Terry Mellon. He is the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists International. And we're talking about the TPP and what's wrong with it.
Terry, you had also mentioned, and Tina, how we're working on here in Portland and in Oregon and across the nation trying to get the minimum wage raised. So I'm reading here that if this TPP is passed the way that it is, that, what does it say here? That, excuse me, folks, I'm stumbling. If we establish minimum wage that cuts into the profit margins of the companies, that they can sue?
Oh, that's the way it's written. And again, it is solely against everything in here is against the general working public. And it's not only in this country, but it's against workers across the globe. I mean, this gives everything to the corporate interests and nothing to the workers.
Right.
They can show that they lost a dime. They can sue. If the workers can, whatever the workers can prove that they should be making X, Y, or Z based on what the company is making, that means nothing. This whole plan is set up so that corporations can do what they've been doing for years. We've had corporate welfare for years.
Yes.
That they continue to build on every year, and this is another way for them to do it, but let the young person that can't get a job need a welfare check for 2 or 3 months, they're ready to cut their necks off. However, they get bailouts every year, every month, from the federal government and from state government,
right,
to keep their businesses running while they're putting more money in their pockets.
Right, right, right.
So, Terry, when we talk about this issue of the TPP, it's my impression that it doesn't just stop at the water's edge. This also has a global and international effect. I remember at the convention that we recently held in Chicago, I went to a workshop talking about international impact on Brazil and Colombia. Can you give our listeners some insight on what that impact is?
Well, again, what we're talking about in Colombia in particular, we have a serious situation over there with, as you may know, and some of your listeners may know, that Colombia has killed more labor organizers than any country. They have just been death on labor in Colombia. But most particularly, they are hard on black labor activists. And they have been trying for years to figure out how to continue to keep us, as we are in many situations, as second-class citizens in that country. TPP would do the same thing over there, strike the same blows over there, give them another excuse while they can't give us a job or continue our employment, and it would also drop the wages because they're going to go where they can get the least amount, pay the least amount to get the work done. So they're going to be abusing people in Colombia as they've been abusing people across the globe, but it is most particularly egregious to people of color in Colombia. We had some of the as you know, some of the individuals in Colombia that have been running for their life for years. One gentleman that came and spoke to us just went back after being in the States for a while because because it was safe for him again, but because of such a love for his own people that he wanted to go back and help them.
We had interviewed last year a young man, John Castro, who is the president of the Columbia Dock Workers, and he was talking a lot about some of those same issues as far as, you know, the effect that the trade agreements in the U.S. have on their countries, and it's just it's just a sad situation all the way I'm around.
When we talked one of the things that John talked to us about was they were expanding the port. In order to do that, what they did is that they cleared out entire neighborhoods in order to do that. And so the people were homeless. They had no place to go.
Right. And it was, those people that were in that situation, you know, they were homeless. And it wasn't like, you know, they said, you know, in this country, when they do the eminent domain deal, as we know, that happens sometimes, they at least are supposed to give you, quote unquote, the value of what you have, but they just move them out. You got to go, and they put them in a situation where they have nowhere to go. You know, and in many cases don't have jobs. So it's a devastating impact on those people in that country, and that's what, you know, we've got a responsibility. While many look at we have a responsibility to police or be the soldiers for the whole world, we have a responsibility when it comes to this economy and when it comes to how trade affects everybody. I mean, when you talk to those that work on the docks, they will tell you that they have many more ships coming in and leaving empty, which tells me that our trade policies are failing, not that they're winning. I mean, a good trade policy say you got goods going out and you got goods coming in.
Right.
We have been failing miserably on what's going out in this country versus what's coming in over the last 20, 25 years.
Understood. And it's not getting better anytime soon, it doesn't feel.
No. No, it does not. No, it does not. I mean, there's another thing about, the legislation doesn't require trade agreements to contain adequate provisions addressing currency manipulation, and we've had arguments and discussions over here about China playing this game with what their currency is worth, letting it go up or down based on how it's going to affect the rest of the world and the U.S. And while we blow at them every now and then, we really don't deal with it. And this is another issue that's not being dealt with. It still allows for that same type of manipulation of currency that could send our whole economy in an uproar, could send us upside down if this thing isn't taken under control. But it doesn't address it.
Sad. It's, you know, it's like one of those things, it's almost like quicksand, you know, the more that you hear and try to do something about, we start, you know, sinking deeper, you know, because folks aren't being allowed even to seat them at the table to help negotiate the agreement, to find out what's in the agreement, and then we as working people are going to lose out, it seems like, in every continent, you know, every color, every person working, this is going to have a devastating effect too.
And it also,
I mean, there, you would think that something that with this type of effect, or this type of impact globally, that some of the people that it really affects would be at the table. Some kind of worker representation would be at the table. You know what? I think I would feel better even if they had some worker representation from somewhere. Even if they said, okay, we're not going to have nobody from the U.S., but we're going to have somebody at the table represent workers.
Right, right.
They didn't even do that. They were clear about who they wanted at the table, and it wasn't us.
Right, right.
You know, and it's really sad. Here it is where we're on the streets, you know, fighting for minimum wage. We're on the streets fighting for immigration. We're on the streets fighting for regulations in order to save our water and our air and our land, when along comes an agreement that could just make all that go up in smoke.
Right. Right. And it's sad. And this is one of those things that it would go under the radar if we're not putting it out there to the people. And then once it's in place and we start losing those things that we've been fighting for, then we like, well, how did this happen? How do we get our hands tied? You know, and regular folks are going to be asking the question, well, how did you guys let this happen? And we've got to stand up. That's why we've got to try to do whatever we can to one, try to stop what we can, or two, politicians got to be held accountable. And I, for one, unlike some labor leaders around this country, I say we draw the line in the sand as labor, and I say everybody who votes for TPP don't get a dime for at least the next 2 years from the labor movement, not one dime. And that's the only way we're going to get corporate America to stand up, and we're going to get these legislators to stand up and do what is right. We've got to hit them where it hurts. And there's some that's on the borderline that can be taken out. We've got to take some out. Whether we got to primary them and take them out, or whether we got to take them out in a general election, I think that if we're serious as labor, of we understand how this is going to impact our members, we understand how this is going to impact workers in general in this country, then we've got to stand up and put the big britches on as labor and hold to what we say we're going to do, which is hold back on money that's going to people that's taking away our jobs.
Right.
Brother President, this is Dr. Terrell, Vice President of the Coalition of Black Trade Unions here in Oregon. I have a quick question. What is the Democratic Black Caucus stance on this agreement?
The caucus, most of them are against the agreement. There are a few that are hard trade agreement folks that are still on the wrong side of this issue. But for the most part, the Black Caucus is against the TPP and have told the president that.
Okay. Well, I'd like to once again remind our listeners, tonight's segment is What's Wrong with the TPP, and our esteemed guest is Reverend Terry Mellon. He is the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unions International. And again, Terry, I would really love to thank you for joining us tonight and putting a foot to labor, letting them know that we need to hold people accountable, and that they need not roll back any of the hard regulations, rules, and guidelines that we have fought for, rules and not only in the contracts, but also not only in the legislature, but also in the legislature.
Let me thank you, ladies, for the work that you're doing. Thank you, ladies, for the work that you're doing with this radio show and the work that you do every day to advance the needs of working men and women in your area, that you have an impact on. It's labor leaders like you that stand up locally that make this whole movement effective. And I thank you so much for taking out time in all the issues that you could be dealing with to bring TPP to a head. And I implore those that are listening to this segment to get out there and start making calls to their House representatives members and to the White House. And let them know that you are not satisfied with the direction that they are currently going with TPP, and that we will hold them accountable. Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Deborah's going to close out our show with a few announcements today.
All right, folks, get your pens out because these are going to come fast and heavy. First date, June 20th, the Charles Drew Blood Drive will from 7:30 a.m. until 1 o'clock p.m. at the American Red Cross, address 3131 North Vancouver Avenue in Portland. Also on June 20th is the Juneteenth celebration from Africa to America, 150 Years of Freedom. That will be at North Williams and North Graham. The Clara People's Freedom Trail Parade will begin at 11 a.m. at Martin Luther King and North Jarrett. And then finally on June 26th, will be Good in the Hood will start on Friday. And they will be in Lillis Albina Park on North Flint Street and Russell Street. Friday, June 26th from 6 until 10. Saturday, June 27th, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. with the parade on North MLK, and then Sunday wrapping up on June 28th from 10 a.m. until 9 p.m. Thank you.
Madam President, will we be participating in the Juneteenth in Good in the Hood?
Yes, we will. We'll be in the parade and we'll also have a booth. So we encourage all of our listeners, come on out, come on down, and come and participate.
Well, do we expect our leadership out of Seattle to be in attendance?
Yes. I've talked to them and they are coming down to help us bring in, to celebrate the sesquicentennial for the Portland, Oregon Juneteenth celebration.
Thank you.
So I'd also like to remind our listeners that we meet the second Tuesday of every month at the Oregon AFSCME building. It's the Bill Lucy building at 6025 North East Burnside. Thank you very much. And thank you for joining us. And holla, get out there and find your passion.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Improvisation Summit of Portland.